Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson today in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And praise be to God. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Praise be to God. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into our sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will say a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us, and we speak your peace, your grace, and your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job and anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. And when we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit, and may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercies. Bless our families and homes to be in order as we left it. We thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you are doing. And we thank you for everything you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
You're listening to
be to God, everybody. Do you know bitterness puts distance between you and God? It says in Proverbs 10 and 12 in the CSB Bible, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love cover all offenses. Are you mired in the quicksand of bitterness or regret? If so, it's time to free yourself from the mire. The world holds few, if any, rewards for those who remain angrily focused upon the past. Still, the act of forgiveness is difficult for all but the most saintly men and women. Being frail, fallible, imperfect human beings, most of us are quick to anger and quick to blame, slow to forgive, and even slower to forget. Yet, we know that it's best to forgive others just as we are to have been forgiven. Amen? If there exists even one person, including yourself, against whom you still harbor bitter feelings, it's time to forgive and move on. Bitterness and regret are not part of God's plan for you. But God won't force you to forgive others. It's a job that only you can finish. And the sooner you finish it, the better. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Bitterness is a spiritual cancer, a rapid growing malignancy that can consume your life. Bitterness cannot be ignored, but must be healed at the very core, and only Christ can heal the bitterness. Grudges are like hand grenades. It is wise to release them before they destroy you. Sin is any deed or memory that hampers or binds human personality. Amen? So let me leave you with this thought. You can never fully enjoy the present if you're bitter about the past. Instead of living in the past, make peace with it and move on. Praise be to God. It says in Ephesians 4:31 through 32 in the CSB Bible, all bitterness, anger and wrath, insult and slander must be removed from you, doing along with all wickedness, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Amen. And James 3:16 and the CSB also says, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. Proverbs 14:10 and the New King James Version says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Romans 12:19 says in the MSG Bible, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Amen? Praise be to God. So don't let anger and bitterness change your life to become distant from loved ones. Forgive as God has forgiven you. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, free us from anger and bitterness. When we are angry, we cannot feel the peace that you intended for our life. When we are bitter, we cannot sense your presence. Keep us mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. Let us turn away from bitterness and instead claim spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting. And again, at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. Praise be to God.
Needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm speaking, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This advice is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me. A better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open and taking the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
You're listening to
that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Make me a faithful steward of the gifts you have given me, and let me share those gifts generously with others today and every day that I live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And just as simple as that. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm sure there's someone that needs prayer today. And we even over in fighting in Jerusalem and things, they need a lot of prayers. So much hatred and destruction going on, wars and bombs and killings and innocent people. Lord, let your will be done in this matter. Protect the innocent, Lord God. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and dangers. And guide them in the way that you would have them to go. Let it be all of you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
Get your inheritance.
Get your inheritance.
Get your inheritance.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled, Listening to the Wise Advice. And our scripture reading is coming from Proverbs chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 2 through 15. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord approves of those who are good, but he condemns those who plan wickedness. Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep. A worthy wife is a crown for her husband. But a disgraceful woman is like cancer in his bones. The plans of the godly are just. The advice of the wicked is treacherous. The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly saves lives. The wicked die and disappear, but the family of the godly stands firm. A sensible person wins admiration, but a warped mind is despised. Better to be an ordinary person with a servant than to be self-important but have no food. The godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well-rooted and bear their own fruit. The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such troubles. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings reward. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Amen. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise. The text for this message is coming from Proverbs 12 and 15, and it says, the way of the fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Amen. The writer says, during the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln once found himself wanting to please a politician. So he issued a command to transfer certain Union Army regiments when the Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, received the order. He refused to carry it out. He said that the president was a fool. Lincoln was told what Stanton had said, and he replied, if Stanton said, I'm a fool, then I must be, for he is nearly always right. I'll see for myself. As the two men talked, the president quickly realized that his decision was a serious mistake, and without hesitation, he withdrew it. Though Stanton had called Lincoln a fool, the president proved wise by not digging in his heels when Stanton disagreed with him. Instead, Lincoln listened to advice, considered it, and changed his mind. Have you ever encountered someone who simply would not listen to wise advice? In 1 Kings 12, 1 through 11, it can be infuriating, can't it? Or even more personal. Have you ever refused to listen to advice? As Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. People may not always be right, but the same goes for us. Knowing that everyone makes mistakes, only fools assume they are the exception. Instead, let's exercise godly wisdom and listen to the wise advice of others, even if we initially disagree. Sometimes that's exactly how God works for our good. In verse 2, amen? Question, why are you sometimes reluctant to listen to the wise advice of others? And how can you be sure the advice you receive reflects true wisdom? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. God of wisdom, teach us your ways and help us to avoid folly. Thank you for putting others in our life who are in a position to offer helpful advice when we need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. At this time, again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce. Amen. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to join us at 7 p.m. Our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you can give your thoughts and comments on what the writer is conveying. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you have given us a community of supporters called the church. Let our fellowship be a reflection of the love we feel for each other and the love we feel for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection.
With holding nothing, with holding.
Praise be to God.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship,
yes.
Let's praise.
Come on, sing along.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, oh yeah.
Let's worship,
yes.
Oh, and praise.
God, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now we're going to go into our lesson with our very own First Lady Nadine, who's going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you for speaking on this beautiful day. Well, even
yes,
say,
absolutely.
The sun is so bright.
Oh, yeah. I was out today. I went to see a patient, and I just had just a wonderful time out there.
Oh, yes, me too. I got back in here about late. So, but it was so beautiful out.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Open your hands.
Oh, praise God. Okay, let me open up and we'll open up in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just magnify you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for even being able to experience this beautiful day, Lord God, to be able to experience this day, considering all those, Lord God, who have gone, Lord God, and
yes,
you still have us here, Lord God, and we know our purpose
you
is, God. And our purpose is to be a servant of you, Lord God, to do
yes,
your will, Lord God, and to bring people to know you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to still be here, Lord God, and we won't fail to give you the honor and the glory, Lord God, and trust in you, Lord God, in everything that we do and say, Lord God, that it would be pleasing to you, Lord God. Forgive
yes,
us, Lord God, for anything that we have done that has not been pleasing to you, Lord God. Take away, Lord God, anything in us, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God. Just remove it, Lord God, from us, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you into this Bible study class, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to help me, Lord God, to be able to teach this Bible study, Lord God. I ask you, Father, to open up the hearts and minds, Lord God, of all those who are listening, Lord God, and participating, Lord God, in this lesson, that we can walk away from this lesson knowing what it is that you want us to know, Lord God, and only, Lord God, so that we can get a clearer picture, Lord God, of who you are, who are your people, Lord God, and what continues to be your expectation of all of us, Lord God, who love you. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we are going back to Joel because we never completed Joel. And let's see who's on the line.
Jacob and Sister Barbara.
Amen. How are you both?
Blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Good, great. And Brother Jay?
Yep. Checking
yep,
in.
Yep, checking in. Okay. So we're going to continue with Joel. We kind of went in a little bit of another different direction last week. And yeah, it was funny. Mother thought it was a recording. She came on.
Yeah.
But she thought it was a recording, so
really?
That's why she was quiet. Yeah, because it wasn't what she, you know, she came on, she heard herself return. I guess she heard the talk of something else, and you know, wasn't Joel, so she wasn't sure whether it was live or whether it was a recorded session.
Okay.
But anyway, she was there. She was there. She was there for most of the lessons. Praise God for that.
Yep.
Okay, so we were talking the last time we spoke about Joel. We were talking about whether or not who believed Joel was written in the 9th century B.C. and answered the above argument in his way. So there was two arguments about when Joel could have been written. The first argument was that it was post-exilic, and the second argument was that it was it was written in the 19th century BC, and they felt that these were some of the reasons why they came up with that. I mean, the first part, the reason why they thought the reason for it being post exilic was because, one, they went on to say it does not mention Northern Kingdom, and it indicates it was written after 722 BC, which was the demise of Israel. It said, two, the reference to priests, but not the king, fit the post-exilic period. Because remember, once they left Babylon, once they left Persia, they went back to Jerusalem, and they didn't have any kings anymore. And then they said the third reason was Joel does not refer to Assyria or Babylon, perhaps because these countries have already been overthrown. And four, they said if chapter 3, verse 2 refers to the Babylonian captivity, this also supports the post-exilic date. And then five, the mention of the Greek in verses 3-6 argues for a later date. So in verse Joel, verse 3 and 6 says, and the sons of Judah and Jerusalem you sold to the sons of the Greek in order to remove them from their borders. So they're saying that this also confirms that it was a later date. Now the commenters who believe Joel was written in the 9th century answers the above arguments in this way. They say, one, Joel's failure to mention the Northern Kingdom is an argument from silence. His prophecy was directed to Judah, not to Israel. So they're saying that, no, he would not have mentioned the Northern Kingdom because he was prophesying to Judah. So they felt like he had, he wouldn't mention the northern part anyway. They also argue that, two, other early prophets omit references to kings. And he showed those other ones was like Obadiah never mentioned a king, Jonah never mentioned a king, Nahum and Habakkuk never mentioned kings, and they also, prophesied around the same time. They say that this also fits the political situation during 841 and 835. So these prophets, they're saying, didn't mention kings, even though when they did prophesy, there were kings. So they prophesied before the exile, because before, it's only before the exile that they had kings. And what this argument is saying, that just because Joel didn't mention kings, it doesn't mean that it's post-exilic, because the prophets who did reign when they were kings didn't mention them in their prophesizing. So they're going on to say that this also, I just want to talk about, does anyone know much about Obadiah?
No, Obadiah, I don't know.
So Obadiah was a prophet for Judah. but he also prophesied in a place called Edom. I was reading about Obadiah, and I thought this was very, very interesting. So the people of Edom, which was close to Judah, were antagonistic to Judah. But the people of Odom, actually Esau's people. So remember the two brothers? You had Jacob and Esau, right?
Yeah, Esau.
So it was like when I was looking up who Obadiah was, and I was searching Obadiah because, you know, I had did a class about the prophet Elijah. And I think I told you all about the story where Elijah was going to back to King Ahab because God had caused a drought, a 3-year drought. And because King Ahab was one of the most evilest kings, he was married to Jezebel. Does anybody remember the story of King Ahab?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was married to Jezebel, and Jezebel worshipped. What did Jezebel worship?
Baal.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And do you remember what Jezebel? Do you remember what Jezebel did to the prophets? God's prophets.
She had him killed.
Yeah, and it was Obadiah, but not Obadiah the prophet. It was, do you remember who that Obadiah was? That Obadiah who, he hid over 100 prophets in caves. He put 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave and fed them and kept them safe from Jezebel's, killing. Yeah. Does that story sound familiar?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't remember it.
Okay, so it's First Kings. It's First Kings chapter 17 to 22. It's a wonderful story to read. It's so interesting. It's like reading a like a wonderful novel. And seeing the antagonist and seeing the prophet Elijah oh my God, with the help of God, he just comes to show off and show out. See how God just shows off and shows out to King Ahab and to all, because King Ahab had 400 false prophets. His 400 false prophets against Elijah, you know, and the story is just a wonderful story. So anyway, I'm getting off track. So when I was looking up who this Obadiah was, because I realized that in that story they were talking about an Obadiah, and that Obadiah was the governor. He was the governor for King Ahab. He worked with King Ahab. So I was looking that up because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is this the same Obadiah who's in the Bible, who's the prophet? There's a book about Obadiah. And that's when I found out that Obadiah, I also found out there was 136 Obadiahs in the Bible. So
what?
Not to confuse, right? So there's a whole bunch of Obadiahs in the Bible, but this Obadiah the prophet prophesied to Edom and Judah, because Edom, like I said, Edom, we know Judah were the people, the 12 tribes of Judah came from Jacob, but Esau had his own people too. And even until, we're talking about his people were antagonistic to Judah.
And it, you know, I mean, this is like still brother people, brother against brother, and now you have brother's people against brother's people, right?
Right.
And so, you know, so he prophesied and warned them, you know, that they had to stop. You know, they had to, you know, they had to literally stop fighting, you know, against Judah, because they were off, the chain. The people of, it's only one chapter. It's one chapter. The book of Obadiah is one chapter. So let's read it. Let's read the book of Obadiah. I know we're just like going off somewhere else, but sometimes these things just pop into my head. But it has, Obadiah has, but I just thought that was interesting that, you know, Esau's people, Esau. So it has 21 verses to it. Would anyone like to read the whole thing, or we want to read half of it? Who wants to go?
Let's spit it out.
Okay. So I can start. I can read the first 5 verses, and somebody pick it up after that.
Okay.
So it's entitled, Edom Will Be Humbled. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saying the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations saying, arise and let us go against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You will live in the cliffs of the rock, in a loftiness of your dwelling place. Who say in their heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like an eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grapes gather, can you, if grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleaning? That was 5. Go ahead. Who has, go, somebody go with 6.
How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought out? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Somebody else want to take it?
In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you shall not be gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you shall not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those men among them who remained in the day of distress.
Okay.
For the day of upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been.
God's judgment day is near for all the godless nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. What you did will boomerang back and hit your own head. Just as you partied on my holy mountain, all the godless nations will drink God's wrath. They'll drink and drink and drink. They'll drink themselves to death. But not so on Mount Zion. There's respite there, a safe and holy place. The family of Jacob will take back their possessions from those who took them from them. That's when the family of Jacob will catch fire. The family of Joseph become fierce flame, while the family of Esau will be straw. Esau will go up in flames. Nothing left of Esau but a pile of ashes. God said it, and it is so. And I'll finish it. People from the south will take over the Esau mountains. People from the foothills will overrun the Philistines. They'll take the farms of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will take Gilead. Earlier, Israelite exiles will come back and take Canaanite land to the north of Zarephath. Jerusalem exiles from the northwest and Shepherd will come back and take the cities in the south. The remnant of the saved in Mount Zion will go into the mountains of Esau and rule justly and fairly, a rule that honors God's kingdom. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Yes. So what do you guys think of that?
Sounds like revenge.
Harsh word.
On those who have attacked Judah.
Mm-hmm. Revenge from whom?
From the invading armies, different people. The army, his brother's army. Strangers took their brother's army into exile. So between Esau and Jacob, sounds like.
So what does everybody else think about? So remember, it's Obadiah who prophesizes. And is he's prophesizing what the Lord is saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So what do you think of it?
I'd like to have a little more context to that question, because the immediate scripture makes it clear that the matter regards the land of Edom.
Right, and what's the land of Edom? I mean, the people of Edom.
Well, they're the relations from Esau.
Right, and so what is Obadiah telling them is going to happen to them? Thus said the Lord.
Well, to paraphrase, their behavior will be they'll have to eat what they dish out, so to speak.
That's right. That's it. They're going to get what they deserve, or
them turning again. So they turned, they literally turned their back on Judah, right?
Yeah.
And so because they did that, and I mean, wow. So the Edomites, which I'm going to read from the Bible, the Edomites of Esau, Jacob's twin, the Edomites were in constant conflict with Israel, the descendants of Jacob. They rejected Moses' request to pass through the land. They rejected Moses' request to pass through their land, and that's found in Numbers 20, 14 through 20. They opposed King Saul. That was in, so let's look at these scriptures, because I think this, I don't know, I think this is interesting. You guys think this is interesting?
Yes.
Yes, interesting.
To learn about these Edomites. So we see the words all the time, the Edomites, the Moabites. So, I mean, it's just, you know, these Edomites are Esau's people. It's just like, this is the brother. So could somebody get Numbers 20, 14 through 20? Because, like, things like this, you don't, I mean, I never even noticed it before when they said they rejected Moses' request to pass through their land. Numbers 20:14-20. I mean, it's amazing how you can have be revengeful over decades, right? Because
mm-hmm.
this is the type of revenge that was told from mm-hmm. generation to generation to generation, right? Because
right.
Esau's been dead, but this animosity was just passed on from generation to generation. Does somebody have Numbers 20, 14 to 20?
While Moses was at Kadesh, he sent ambassadors to the king of Edom with this message.
Ooh.
This is what your relatives, the people of Israel, say. You know all the hardships we have been through. Our ancestors went down to Egypt, and we lived there for a long time. And we and our ancestors were brutally mistreated by the Egyptians. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard us and sent an angel who brought us out of Egypt. We are camped at Kadesh, a town on the border of your land. Please let us travel through your land. We will be careful not to go through your fields and vineyards. We won't even drink water from your wells. We will stay on the king's road and never leave it until we have passed through your territory. But the king of Edom said, stay out of my land, or I will meet
Ooh.
You with an army. The Israelites answered, we will stay on your main road. If our livestock drink your water, we will pay for it. Just let us pass through your country. That is all we ask. But the king of Edom replied, stay out. You may not pass through our land. And with that, he mobilized his army and marched out against them with an imposing force.
Wow.
Yeah, that's deep.
Wow. I mean, even reading that then, but knowing this now, who the Edomites were, it just makes it, I mean, for me, it just blew my mind, because it just makes it more significant in the fact that this is, you know, brother. This is his brother. You know, they both came from their father. They both came from Abraham, right? And mm-hmm. and it's so interesting how God, you know, I mean, two sons, one so opposed and so resentful. Now, we know what Jacob did to him. You know, he sold his birthright. But he held, like, he just held on to that resentment,
yes.
you know, and mm-hmm. and we see it here, right?
Yes.
And then it goes on to say they opposed King Saul. Did somebody get 1 Samuel 14:47? Mother, get 1 Samuel 14:47, and Hilda, get 1 Kings 11.
14 through 17, and Sister Barbara gets, it's the same thing. So, Hilda, you got 1 Kings 11, 14 through 17, and then Sister Barbara, you have 1 Kings 11, you read 18 through 25.
Okay.
Because this is where we're going to see, first of all, they oppose King Saul, that's mother.
First Samuel 14 and 47. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom, and against the kings of Zobah, and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. Amen.
Okay. They fought against David. That's you, Hilda.
First, what you said it was? First King 11?
Yeah, 14 through 17.
Oh, okay, 14. Right here, the adversaries. Okay. Then the Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon, Pada, the Edomite. He was of the royal line in Edom. For it came about when David was in Edom and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain and had struck down every male in Edom. For Joab and all Israel stayed there 6 months until he had cut off every male in Edom. Wow, that Hadad fled to Egypt, and he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him. While Hadad was a young boy, they rose from Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them from Paran to Egypt, and came to Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house and assigned him food and gave him land. Now Hadad found great favor before Pharaoh, so that he gave him in marriage the sister of his own wife, the sister of, how you pronounce that? Typhonus? Verse 19.
Okay.
Sister Barbara, can you pronounce that?
That sounds right. Queen Tapina.
Okay, thank you. So I'm 14 to 20, right?
No, just to 17, and then Sister Barbara's going to read the rest. Because then he opposes Solomon.
Oh, okay.
They oppose and fight against Solomon.
Right.
That's 17 through 25.
Okay.
So you stopped that. They picked up some men at Paran. Is that about where 17 ends? Because I have 14 to 20.
Okay. 17 was that. Yeah, Hadad fled to Egypt.
They picked up some men.
Yeah.
And Paran, and went to Egypt and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave her dad a house, food, and even land. Pharaoh liked him so well that he gave him the sister of his wife, Queen Tapenes, in marriage. She bore her dad a son named Ganubath, who was raised like one of the royal family. Ganubath grew up in the palace with Pharaoh's children. While living in Egypt, Hadad heard that both David and Joab, commander of the army, were dead. He approached Pharaoh and said, "Send me off with your blessing. I want to return to my country." "But why?" said Pharaoh. "Why would you want to leave here? Hasn't everything been to your liking?" "Everything has been just fine," said Hadad. "But I want to go home. Give me a good send-off." 3:25. Then God incited another adversary against Solomon, Rezon, son of Elida, who had deserted from his master, Hadadezer, king of Jobah. After David's slaughter of the Arameans, Rezon collected a band of outlaws and became their leader. They later settled in Damascus, where Rezon eventually took over as king. Like Hadad, Rezon was a thorn in Israel's side all of Solomon's life. He was king over Aram, and he hated Israel. Amen. Mm.
That's L-U. So, these Edomites, Obadiah, so this is why Obadiah, you know, prophesied and gave them, you know, this fair warning of what was about to happen to them, because it's been a never ending conflict and like their hatred, you know, towards Israel and Judah. So that's it. That's all I wanted to go over. I said, wow, so now we know who those Edomites are. You know, we always see them, the Edomites, the Megamites, the da-da-da-da. Well, now we can, whenever we see Edomites, we'll know exactly
we know
who the Edomites are. Amen?
Amen.
Esau. But weren't they dark-skinned?
Huh?
Weren't they dark-skinned?
More than likely.
Well, we believe they were all dark skinned.
Right.
But I know you're talking about when Solomon, is that the same when in Songs of Solomon?
Yeah.
Was right? Let's look at that. The Songs of Solomon. He made reference to an Edomite woman, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did he fall in love with an Edomite woman?
Yes, he did.
Well, I think
that
was because she was working in the vineyard and the sun was hot on her skin. And it made her black. Song of Solomon.
Well, she must have been some black, beautiful woman.
Oh, I just got here to Kings, the beginning of Kings of Kings 11 and first thing it says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonians, Hittite women from the nations concerning which from which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, "You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your hearts away after their gods." And Solomon held fast to these in love. And it goes on to say that he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. So the Edomite women are included in the women that Solomon fell in love with. So he, yeah.
And that was his downfall, because God told him not to stray.
That was his downfall. Exactly. Okay, so we were up to two, where it says the other prophets also admit references to kings, such as Obadiah and we saw that Jonah, Nahum, and Habakkuk don't mention kings. This also
did you want to
the
see
political
the?
Huh?
I'm sorry. I was going to say, did you want to see the verse in Song of Solomon? Song of Songs.
Oh, yeah, you found it? You found it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
Chapter 1, starting at verse 5. It says, I am weathered, but still elegant, O dear sisters in Jerusalem. Weather darkened like their desert tents. Time softened like Solomon's temple hangings. Don't look down on me because I'm dark, darkened by the sun's harsh rays. My brothers ridiculed me and sent me to work in the fields. They made me care for the face of the earth, but I had no time to care for my own face. Amen. So
that's
she's
right.
darkened
that's
by
right.
the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, she might have been brown to begin with, but she got even darker because she was forced to work outside.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Yeah, so we know who those Edomites are. Now we know who the Edomites are. Okay. So this also fits the political situation during 841 to 835 BC when Athaliah observed the throne upon the death of her husband, Ahaziah.
The word is usurp.
Okay. What did I say?
Absurd.
Okay. Usurp the throne upon the death of her husband, Ahaziah. Joaz, the legitimate heir to the throne. Now, you remember that story, Mother, of Athaliah? Huh?
Athaliah,
the woman who took over.
And
a little boy.
Joel?
Not Joel. It's
it's
Joaz. So Joaz, Athaliah, after her husband died, she took over. But the reign, the legitimate, and I can continue reading, Joaz, the legitimate heir to the throne, because he was in the line of David, was a minor. He was a kid and
right.
protected by the high priest, Jehoiada. When Athaliah, the queen, was removed from power in 835, Joaz came to the throne but ruled under the regency of Jehoiada. Thus, the prominence of the priest and the lack of reference to a king in Joel fits this historical content. So they're saying that it's possible that because this woman was queen for, she was only queen for a short period of time, but even as Joaz had, was, you know, he had the throne. He was the legitimate throne, but he ruled under Jehoiada, and Jehoiada was protected by Jehoiada was a high priest. So in other words, you know, he really didn't reign by himself as who's the 8-year-old kid that reigned by himself? He wasn't. It was the 8-year-old. Do you remember who the 8-year-old wonderful king was?
Oh, yeah.
Was that Joaz?
No, this is Joaz here that we're talking about.
I didn't say Joaz.
J-O-A-S-H. He was also a child, but the king, the other child king who reigned, his father was who?
Was that Josiah?
Yes.
But didn't she, the queen had them all killed, and the servant of the child, did she not hide him to keep him from being killed?
She didn't hide him. They hid the child from her because she wanted to kill the child, because she wanted to continue being
the queen. The queen wanted to kill the child, but I'm saying that the child's servant, was the servant of the child, the family, that she was the one that hid the child from the queen?
Well, here it's saying that the child was protected by the high priest, Jehoiada. That Jehoiada the high priest is who ended up protecting the child from the death from Athaliah for killing, you know, from,
was
yeah.
Was Jezebel her mother?
I think so, Mother. I think we did read that. Yes. Yes. Well, let's just confirm it. But I think you are absolutely right, Mother.
Because
that
remember, Mother had
the daughter of Jezebel.
Yeah, Mother had read it in a book that she has of who's who in the Bible, and I remember she read that about, and that the Jezebel was the mother of that a lady.
Athaliah.
I
think her name.
That's right. Athaliah was the daughter of King Ahab, the evil King Ahab.
Right.
And Queen Jezebel of Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Mother.
Yeah, that's her.
Well, what
that's
is she
her.
Doing all those things?
Well, yeah, she had it in her blood. She had it both, an evil father and an evil mother.
Yeah.
And she literally, she grew up, you know, worshiping Baal, because I guess that's all she had in her house. So that's what she grew up doing. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if his name
is
pronounced Baal or Baal. Sometimes I hear some people say Baal and some people say Baal. Do you know which
one
is right?
Well, it's double A's, B-A-A. So,
shouldn't it
be Baal?
B-A-A-L. Some say Baal.
Ball.
I hear some people saying ball.
I'm looking at Josiah, not to cut you off, Mother, but it says that according to the biblical narrative, Josiah was the son of King Amon and Jedidah.
That's right. That's right.
Not Jezebel.
Amon.
And Ahab. Not Ahab and Jezebel. The daughter of Adiah and Bozkath. His grandfather, Manasseh, was one of the kings blamed for turning away from the worship of Yahweh. So he's not the father of the child of Jezebel.
No. We're not talking about him. No, we're not talking about him. We're talking about Athaliah, the queen. Athaliah is the daughter
trying to kill the
eight-year-old.
Athaliah.
Yeah.
Athaliah, the queen, who tried to kill the young king,
Joab, the child
her
was,
mother.
Okay, gotcha.
Huh? Yeah.
I thought you were talking about who the child's parents were.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No, because we were talking about Athaliah, and Mother said, isn't Jezebel her mother? I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's why she was so evil too, trying to kill this little boy. To keep, you know, so she can keep staying reign, you know, continue to reign. But yes, you're right about
yeah, we talked on that before.
You're right about the king. His father was Amon, his grandfather was Manasseh. And Hezekiah was his great grandfather, who was one of the good kings. But between his father and his grandfather, they were horrible, right? And so he was also good, but he began his reign at 8 years old. And when I was, I said, that's a third grader. He was a king as a third grader.
He did very well. He's one of the great kings of Judah. So anyway, that was, we were just saying, but Athaliah, you know, she was evil. She tried to, but they're making reference to the fact that Joel, was, you know, Joel reigned during that time. So when he was, that's probably why he didn't mention any king, because there really wasn't a true king, because he's saying Jehoiada, literally, he was doing the little boy ruled under the regency of the high priest. So he didn't like rule independently on his own. So that's why they're saying the reason why Joel doesn't mention a king in his, as he prophesied. Mm-hmm. And then it also goes on to say, it is true that Joel does not refer to Assyria or Babylon, but the countries Joel mentions are more crucial. They include Phoenicia, Egypt, and Edom, countries prominent in the 9th century, but not later. Assyria and Babylon are not mentioned because they had not yet reached the position of power. Also, if Joel was post-exilic, a reference to Persia would be expected. And 4, chapter 3, verse 2, does not refer to the Babylonian captivity, but to an event that has not yet occurred. Greeks are mentioned in Assyrian records from the 8th century. It is just an assumption to state that the Hebrews had no knowledge of the Greeks at an early time. In other words, they believe that they did. Evidence also points to a sharing of material between Joel and Amos. So where you see in
Joel 3:16 and Jake, get
Amos 1 and 2. And Barbara, you get Joel 3 and 18, and Mother get Amos 9 and 13. So we want to see how there's a sharing of material or sharing of information between those two prophets.
Okay.
So the first book is Joel 3 and 16 and Amos 1 and 2.
Okay. Joel 3:16 says, the Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. Amen.
Right. And now Amos 1 and 2.
This is what he saw and heard. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The lush pastures of the shepherds will dry up. The grass on Mount Carmel will wither and die.
Right. So we see the same type of reference. And yeah. Next one, Joel 3 and 18. Who has that?
What? Milk rivering out of the hills. What a day. Wine streaming off the mountains, milk rivering out of the hills, water flowing everywhere in Judah, a fountain pouring out of God's sanctuary, watering all the parks and gardens. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And then Mother, 9 and 13.
9 and 13.
Amos.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sowed seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Amen.
Wow. Right. So you see the comparison saying that the content of the book suggests that Amos, an 8th century prophet, borrowed from Joel. Also, Joel's style is more like that of Hosea and Amos than of a post exilic writers. The evidence seems to favor a date of about 835 BC for Joel. Since Joel does not mention idolatry, it may have been written after the purge of Baal. Now, talking about the word Baal, I just want to say I heard another pronunciation of it, Baal. You know who says Baal?
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Price pronounces it Baal.
Oh, really?
So I guess she's saying, yeah, instead of Baal, she pronounces both A's, like Baal. Baal is how she pronounces that word. So there was a purge of Baal worship and most other forms of idolatry in the early reign of Joaz under Jehoiada, the priest. As an early prophet of Judah, Joel would have been a contemporary to Elisha in Israel. So they're saying that he would have been around the same time Elijah was in Israel and Joel in Judah, that they would have been contemporaries around the same time. So in other words, this whole section was really meant to capture the date and the setting, and it looks like it comes to the conclusion that Joel prophesied before the exile, not after the exile.
Oh.
And it's 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Okay.
Before.
Any questions or concerns?
No, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Great. I'm just zipped.
Wow.
Okay, cool guys.
But that Baal,
mother,
they considered that as a fertility god.
He was everything.
Oh,
he was everything for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they remember, well, going back to the story with Elisha, when after Elijah wanted after God had stopped the rain, you know, for 3 years,
yeah,
and God told Elijah to go back to King Ahab, and so that he would, you know, stop the drought. So when he got there to King Ahab, he wanted to prove to the people that God is the only true God.
Right.
And so as the story went, they had set up two altars, and they were supposed to put meat or animals,
yes.
And on both altars, and the altar, they were supposed to pray to their God.
Yes.
For fire.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Right.
Remember the story? And the 400 prophets jumping up and down, running, screaming, hollering, carrying on, trying to get that Baal to set the fire.
Yeah.
And they did all kind of tricks. Stand on their heads, whatever, to get, you know, to get the Baal to set the fire. And nothing happened.
Yeah, all they got was...
Huh?
We're sorry.
Right.
Your
exactly.
divine connection is unavailable.
The body is busy.
We hang up and try again.
Right. And then you have Elijah who pours water. He drowns the altar with water.
Yes.
I mean, imagine setting fire to water, right?
Yes.
So he even made it even more dramatic by drowning the altar with water. Call on God, and God steps to the flame and dries up all the water, you know, and they all bow their head in shame. But you would think Ahab from that encounter would come to know and believe in God, but it didn't work. Not for him.
Nope.
I mean,
but
so their Baal, they expect their Baal to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just for fertility, expectation that that's their God, that they can pray to him for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say something right there.
Yes.
While you were talking,
Mother.
Lady Nadine, you were talking about water. I saw something on YouTube where they investigated water, and they said water have a memory. They said water has a memory.
Really? Say a little bit
and
more about
that.
What do they mean?
Huh?
What do they mean
water
by
takes
that?
On, takes on, like they had put in some vial with poison in it. You know what I mean? And the vial was covered in all of that. They had put it in water. And they had taken the vial out, and they had given this water to some animals, and some of the animals died.
Ooh.
You know, they said that water has a memory. But what they did was they went and got water from a remote place where the water is not contaminated or anything. And then they started experimenting with water. You know, and they started looking at it through a microscope and things like that. And they said when the water is pure and everything, it gives off all of these beautiful, all these beautiful figures and things like that. And then there's a water that's dead water. Water can die. Isn't that something? Water can die.
Yeah,
water can die.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But they said water has a memory. You know, they investigated water. I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday.
That's what they're telling people not to drink that water. What's that water that starts with a D?
Dasani?
Yes.
With a D?
Yeah, the water that starts with, it's DS something. I don't know.
I just said it, Dasani. What's wrong with it?
Oh, they're saying that the...
Oh, Dasani.
Yes, there's some chemicals in it that is causing the children is pure spring water, like they say it is, and what chemicals that they put in it to make it taste better is killing the children and causing them to messing with their kidneys, and they have to
it's
have
killing
some...
The children?
Yeah,
I don't think that's Dasani. I think that's, what is it called, smart water, where it has added minerals and chemicals.
That doesn't start with the DJ.
No, this one starts with
but
the
I thought
DJ.
I heard something about smart water causing a problem.
Yeah, that one too. They haven't, it's all of a sudden, they're having all kinds of warning against the water. Because a lot of times they say when people think that it's pure spring water that they're drinking, it's not. It's
tap water.
What they do, they add chemicals to it, and whatever chemicals that they put in it is like messing it up the person's inside.
Wow.
Listen, New York got the best water in the world. Okay?
It you know, that really water makes me sick.
That's true. We are so fortunate.
Makes me sick.
Really?
Because I went to Philadelphia when my daughter used to live in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That water tastes horrible. In Philly? Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's the worst water I've ever tasted in my life.
You would taste New Jersey water? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they said that stay away from that. Don't drink the tap water.
The only water I drink in Jersey when I went there was bottled water. And even that didn't
drink the tap water.
Right.
I found a program that pronounces B-A-L-L. You want to hear it? Let's hear the correct. It says how to pronounce how to pronounce Bell correctly. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah, I look for it.
I hope you'll be able to hear it.
All right.
All right.
Me neither.
Do you put? Do you have it on?
She left us hanging.
You can't hear it? Oh my God!
No.
You can't hear it.
You can't hear anything.
No. That's God at work. God doesn't want us to know how to pronounce. But I
definitely can't share screen. I'll say it when he say it. Okay, hold on.
All right.
Okay.
He says there are two ways to say this word. Either Baal. You can say Baal. And that's how Reverend Price pronounced it. Baal.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it's either Baal or Ball.
Okay.
I like Baal first.
Baal.
Baal. Ball.
Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification. Now I can sleep well at night.
Okay. Mother, can you pray us out, please, Mother?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, I just thank you. We just thank you for such a wonderful lesson that we had tonight. We thank you for opening our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our heart that we may perceive what thus saith the Lord. Father God, we know that you are pleased, Father God, because you want us to show ourselves a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth and study your word, Father God, so that we won't be ashamed, Father God, when we speak your word out, when you raise us up, Father God, as ministers, Father God, that we will know what we're talking about. And to you too also, Father God, that you want to see that we are studying your word, because you and your word are one. Your word will not come back to you void. You watch your word to perform it. And we just thank you for it. We thank you that we heard about the king Obadiah that was hiding kings in the caves from Jezebel, because Jezebel wanted to kill them. And how many Obadiahs there are in the Bible? 136. God,
wow.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry, but. I didn't know that. Every time we go into a lesson, we learn new things. The Bible is so vast. We thank you, Father God. We know why the Bible is vast, because you're vast, Father God. And
we thank you
for speaking a word through your prophets, Father God, so that you will reveal yourself to us, Father God. We love you. We heard you. We appreciate you. We adore you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And we thank you for a lady named Dean giving such a wonderful lesson today and all who participated in it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Oh, thank you, Mother. Praise
Amen.
God.
Lovely.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful night.
You too.
You too.
Love you all.
Do you have rehearsal tomorrow?
Yeah. This is even going to be Barbara. Somebody's going to be teaching. You know who I'm in favor of. Okay.
Okay.
just asking.
Who I'm in favor of. So I will be there.
I will be
praise
there.
God. Praise
all
the
right,
Lord.
Yes. Bye. Bye.
Y'all have a blessed night. Love you. Shalom.
You too.
You too. Good Hello. Night, everybody. Good God bless you.
Night. Okay, good night.
Night.
Good night, Mother. Love you.
Love you all.
On that note, amen. On that note, all belongs to you.
Amen.
Belongs to you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.